Chapter 3. Of course, the maniac had chosen a fucking yacht to take hostage. After all, Dan Slade's yacht had been one of his prized possessions, and since the maniac was obsessed with all things related to Dan Slade and the Shadow Knight, it really wasn't a surprise that he had chosen a yacht to make his first contact with us. "Pull up the security camera footage from by the lake on one of the screens," I told Eileen. "I want to see if the maniac has left us any clues that he's behind this, or if we're just supposed to assume he is and then show up."
"Right away, Creator,"
Eileen said in her low, sultry tone. I wasn't particularly thrilled at the fact that we were about to have to save a bunch of rich assholes who had just inherited their money like Dan Slade. They were the types who only really knew how to spend money instead of make it, because unlike me, they had never had to earn anything a day in their lives. The TV screen directly in front of me switched over to the security camera feed by the lake, so I turned my attention to it while I also kept one eye on the red-haired reporter on one of the other screens. If I had any doubts that the maniac was behind all of this, those doubts immediately vanished when I saw the security camera feed. The camera itself was at the end of the dock, and right away, I could see that the feed had been tampered with, just like Eileen had said. For the most part, the footage just showed a few empty yachts left at the dock, so I guessed the hostage yacht must already be out on the lake. But every few seconds, the footage turned to static, and then the feed switched to a dark warehouse. No one was in the warehouse, at least not that we could see, but on the wall there was a message scrawled in dark red paint. "Let's play a game." The security feed stayed on the warehouse wall just long enough for me to read the message, and then it switched back to the yachts at the dock. It continued to switch back and forth, and when I felt certain that there wasn't any other message for me, I turned my attention back to the screen with the red-haired reporter.
"With us now is the mother of one of the partiers on the yacht,"
the female reporter said.
"Ma'am, do you have any message that you would like to convey to the kidnappers, whoever they are? Please... Please, you don't have to do this. We're already so scared, and we don't know what's going to happen with the maniac, so please just let my daughter come home. We can spend a little time together before... Well, if this is the end, then please, please just let everyone go."
Fuck. Well, she's laying it on a little thick, don't you think?
Miles!
I know. It's just hard to feel bad for some rich asshole who decided to party on a yacht after the maniac just declared war on the city.
I'm sure they were already on the yacht before all of that happened. They can't help it if they had bad timing.
Maybe. I said with a shrug. Either way, I don't think we have much of a choice but to help them. The maniac clearly wants us to, and since we really need some more information, I'm willing to play along with him. For now.
You don't think he's actually on the yacht, do you? That seems a little too obvious, right?
No, the maniac will want to draw this out for as long as possible. But even though he's not on the yacht, I'm pretty goddamn sure that it's still a trap. Well, actually, it's probably an ambush.
That makes sense,
Penumbra said with a nod.
If the maniac has been behind all the coordinated supervillain attacks lately, then he could have some villains on the yacht who are just waiting for us.
Well, somebody had to take everybody on the yacht hostage, that's for sure, so we should definitely be prepared for a fight.
At the very least, we should be able to take out a bunch of supervillains. But even if we just save those people, it'll be worth it.
I wanted to tell her that I was pretty sure all of the kidnapped people were probably dead, but there was no way to know that for sure, and I hated to crush her hopes before we even got started. I wished that we knew who the supervillains on the yacht were, just so we could be better prepared to face them, but there was also a good chance that it might just be a bomb or something that didn't require any actual bodies. Other than our own, of course.
So what's the plan? Do you want me to float you all over to the lake and then...
No, not this time. I think we'll need to move a little faster to get there, and I definitely want to be able to get away as fast as we need to, so I don't want you to have to carry all of us and then try to really pick up speed.
Oh, that makes sense. Do I get to fly the new plane?
Norma whispered and then pushed her oversized glasses up her nose.
I know we haven't gotten a chance to really take it for a test run yet, but...
The plane has no offensive capabilities.
Eileen cut her off.
Hey, I can fly that thing well enough to keep us out of danger. I think I can anyway. And isn't the best offense supposed to be a good defense?
Not when it comes to a fight against unknown supervillains, but a good defense won't hurt. Besides, we've got to test the plane out at some point, so we might as well do it now.
And we all fit?
It'll be a little snug, but yeah. And we better go ahead and leave now to get to the yacht. Otherwise, the maniac might get impatient and make us jump through another hoop.
All right, so what do we need?
Exactly the same shit we brought to our other two fights today. We've already got our suits on, so we'll just wear them and take our weapons and our helmets with us.
Shall I come with you this time, Creator?
Eileen asked as she fluttered her long eyelashes at me in such a precise move that it almost seemed human. No, I want you to stay here, Eileen. Norma will pilot the plane on the way there, but you'll be able to pilot the plane remotely, so after we drop down onto the yacht, I want you to take it away so it won't get damaged in the fight. Then, when we need to leave, you can pilot it right back to the yacht and get us out of there.
I understand,
my robotic assistant said.
But I would much rather go with you.
Of course you would. You want to be part of the action. But I promise you will be, just not today.
As you wish, Creator,
Eileen said, and then made a sound that almost seemed like a sigh. While we're gone, I also want you to keep an eye on the rest of the city through all of Greyville's security cameras. See if there's any sign of the maniac or what he's up to, and watch for any other supervillain activity.
I am already monitoring Greyville's cameras,
Eileen said.
But I will continue to do so.
Good. Well then, let's go fly a fucking plane. Once we had gathered up all our gear, we left Eileen in the living room and headed out to the massive garage of our mansion. No one, except for my AI system, had actually seen the four-man plane that I'd made from the Shadow Knight's scraps, so as soon as it came into view, all three women gasped over how badass it looked. It was some of my finer work. Because I needed to keep the agility of Norma's small glider plane, I hadn't wanted to make it bulky like most planes that size would be. So instead of having one central cockpit with four seats, I had put them in a row in a semi-reclined position. The wings themselves were much longer than the glider's wings to account for the extra seats, and I had added extra thrusters and propellers just to make sure that everything stayed airborne.
Oh my God, Miles,
Elizabeth said as she hurried over to the plane.
This is unbelievable. I can't wait to fly it,
Norma said and bit her lip.
It's even prettier than the glider, and I definitely didn't think that was possible for you to top. I think Miles can top anything he sets his mind to. Well, obviously, that's true,
Elizabeth said as she folded her arms over her chest.
So is the plan just to fly over the yacht, drop down, fuck up any villains on board, save the hostages, and then get out of there?
That's the plan. And we'll just have to adapt to any surprises that the maniac throws our way.
Well, if anybody can adapt to surprises, it's Miles,
Norma said before she flushed a dark shade of pink. I smiled at my nerdy assistant, but didn't tease her like I normally would have. She was about to pilot us into the middle of some trap set by the maniac, so I didn't want to throw her off. Still, I wanted to tell her that a little bit of color looked good on her cheeks, just like her body looked anything but average in the supersuit that I had designed for her. Norma already seemed so much more confident in herself whenever she wore my suit, and recently I had noticed that her confidence boost started to wear off later and later. So it was only a matter of time before she didn't need the suit at all to feel completely sure of her own abilities. Norma took the frontmost seat with me right behind her, and Penumbra and Elizabeth each behind me, respectively. My mousy assistant took a deep breath, cranked the ignition, and then started to roll out of the garage and down our long driveway.
Eileen can take control if I mess up, right?
You're not gonna mess up. You designed a guillotine as part of our home defense system, remember? And you took out the Shadow Knight's AI-operated vehicles. I wouldn't have picked you to be my assistant if I didn't think you could fly a plane, Norma.
Yeah,
she said as she took a deep breath. Think you are an average ace fighter jet pilot. I cleared my throat as I looked at my gloves. I didn't want to beat her over the head with my theories because she tended to dumb my genius down.
Right,
Norma said as she raised her gaze to the driveway in front of us.
I've got this.
I glanced at Penumbra and Elizabeth on both sides, but the blonde heroine gave me a thumbs up, and my black-haired girlfriend just nodded and then looked ahead again. Well, we were as ready as we could be, and I would figure out anything else when I needed to.
Average ace pilot. Here we go.
Norma took the plane up into the air without any problems, and as she started in the direction of the lake, I smiled to myself. She might have all the skills of an average run-of-the-mill pilot, but she also had all the skills of an average fighter pilot, so she flew us like a fucking expert all the way to Grayville's Lake. As the water came into view, I peered out the cockpit window for any signs of the kidnapped yacht. Slade's Island was right there in the middle of the lake, of course, but I knew that even if the maniac was aware of the location of the Shadow Knight's secret lair, he certainly didn't have the ability to break into it like I had. Mostly because he didn't have Eileen. We passed over the island itself, but it seemed as undisturbed as when we had left it. One day it would make a great base of operations for Beacon, and I imagined that Julian would be able to help him reprogram all the entrances and secret codes so that the former apprentice to the Shadow Knight could finally make the lair all his own.
There it is,
Norma said with a nod to the waters on the other side of the island. All right, Eileen, get ready to take over for Norma since we're about to jump out of here, okay?
I am always ready,
my robotic assistant replied. Then everybody, get ready to jump.
Jump?
Norma swallowed.
But like, how?
Penumbra said through the comms. Well, you can just float out of here, but the rest of us will jump down to the yacht. As long as we get close enough, our boots will absorb the shock, so don't worry about that.
But how will we...
Oh, right. There's a door underneath your seat, so once you unbuckle your seatbelt, I'll pull the lever, the door will open, and the bottom of your seat will slide down with the door.
So basically, we'll just fall out?
Yep. So just make sure you bring us down close enough to the yacht that we can make the jump, and then Eileen will take it from there. Norma brought us closer to the yacht, but no one fired at us or even appeared on the deck of the massive three-story ship. It looked like someone had driven it out into the middle of the lake and then just abandoned it. But then again, if it really was an ambush, it wasn't like it would be obvious. Once we were close enough to make the jump, Eileen took over the plane, and all four of us unbuckled our seatbelts to prepare. I waited until all three women told me that they were ready, and then I deployed all four of our doors. The doors dropped out from underneath us, along with the seats themselves, so we immediately tumbled out of the plane and crashed down toward the upper yacht deck. I instantly activated the thrusters in my boots, so I shot up a little higher, and then I was able to slowly ease up on the pressure, until I floated damn near as gracefully as Penumbra down to the deck. Elizabeth's boots just slammed into the deck as she dropped into a crouch, and there was so much force behind her crash that it was a small miracle that she didn't just rip right through the deck and land somewhere on the second floor. Norma did a few acrobatic flips in the air and then landed softly on her feet beside me, so then all four of us straightened and looked around the upper yacht deck. Music was playing from somewhere on the ship, some wordless tune with the bass cranked up all the way, but it was faint enough that it had to be from a deck below us. Other than that, the ship was deadly fucking quiet, and that immediately put me on edge. There were a few news choppers off in the distance, but none of them had come very close, probably because they were afraid that the kidnappers might shoot them down. That suited me just fine, since I would prefer as few distractions as possible from whatever we were about to encounter. The only thing on the upper deck aside from us was a large bar area, but Penumbra floated over to check it out and then just shook her head when she turned back around. Penumbra and Dynamo, you go down to the first floor. Norma and I will take the second floor, so just tell us if you find anything. Or anyone. My gorgeous girlfriend nodded, so she and Penumbra hurried toward the stairwell, while Norma and I followed right behind them. There were no signs of life, or even of a struggle on the stairs. But when Norma and I started to make our way across the second-story deck, I began to get a bad feeling. There were one or two broken bottles on the floor, but there were also drops of blood scattered across the wood. None of the blood spatters were big enough to suggest that someone had died, but there was a chance that someone had limped away from here to die somewhere else. Norma and I stayed quiet as we moved past the bar area on the second deck and toward the built-in pool. The pool chairs looked like they had been tossed around a little, but there was more pool water on the deck than I would have guessed. But I still didn't see any signs of supervillains or hostages.
Miles, the pool.
I followed her gaze to the bottom of the pool and realized that something was moving underneath all the water. It was translucent, but there was a definite human-shape ripple in the pool. I raised my arm so that the taser in my elbow would face forward, but as soon as I braced myself for whatever was about to come out of the water, I detected movement from either side of the yacht's deck. "We've got enemies incoming," I growled into the comms, so Penumbra and Elizabeth would be prepared. "Watch the sides of the ship." 3 men hopped over the sides of the ship and raced toward us at the same time the translucent figure in the pool flew to the surface. One of the men was airborne, another one had flippers that turned into feet as he ran, and the third villain dropped a grappling hook and rope that he must have used to scale the yacht from somewhere below. Norma pulled out a whip that she had hidden somewhere in her suit, and then advanced toward the airborne supervillain, while I focused my concentration on the translucent figure. The pool boy looked like he was made of nothing but water, so I held myself steady until he was a little closer, and then I fired my taser right at the center of his see-through chest. The electric current rippled through his whole body until he exploded in a spray of chlorine that coated the entire pool deck. Even as I moved toward the flippered villain, I glanced down to see that the remnants of the pool boy had already started to scrape themselves back together. So, the electric shock must have only injured him, but not actually finished him off. It looked like I would have to deal with that again later.
"Do you need help?"
Dynamo answered over the comms. "Not yet," I said, and then fired my palm blasters at the flippered villain. He dodged them easily, but I glanced over to see that Norma had managed to lash her whip around the ankle of the airborne villain, and she had just yanked him down to the deck with a sickening crunch of his shoulder on the boards. "Oh, nice," I said, and then I raised my forearm to block a punch from the grappling hook asshole. The moment that his fist landed on my forearm, I thought that it might be a good idea to install blades all along my forearms that would trigger at the force of a punch. If I had them now, then this fucker's punch would have been met with a handful of blades that might have cut right through his knuckles down to the bone. And that would have been hilarious. As I blocked one blow after another from the grappling hook villain, I deployed the taser in my other elbow to stop the flippered fucker as he tried to sneak up behind me. He yelped and fell to the ground. And even though he didn't dissolve into a puddle of chlorine, he did wet himself as the electric current finished coursing through him. "Dynamo, look for any clues that the maniac left behind," I said, and then ducked when the grappling hook asshole pulled out a gun. "There's got to be something down here where you are, since I don't see anything up here."
"We're looking. Tell us if you need help."
The asshole in front of me tried to shoot, but I rolled to the side, so he just ended up blowing a hole in the deck. When he tried to shoot again, I was ready for him. So at the same time I dodged, I triggered the palm blaster in my left hand, and it tore a goddamn crater out of his thigh. There was so much blood that it didn't spurt so much as it just poured out of his leg. So I immediately fired the blaster in my right palm to finish the job. It ripped through the rest of his thick flesh and straight through the bone itself. So his whole leg just flopped to the floor, and then, a second later, he flopped down with it.
"We found something. You'll definitely want to see this."
"Be there in a minute," I grunted, as I watched the man's blood spill out into the chlorine of the translucent man. The pool boy had only managed to get his head and torso back together so far, but the other supervillain's blood seemed to have slowed down his progress. So I was able to look over at Norma and see how she and the other two villains were doing. My mousy but bloodthirsty assistant had just chopped off the airborne villain's head with one of her machetes, and she had instantly started toward the grappling hook asshole that I had tasered. She stood above him now, with one machete in each hand, and she brought them both down in a cross slash across his throat. So she didn't quite sever his head, but instead just cut clean through his windpipe. "Nice work, Norma," I said with a grin. "Now let's go see what they found before the pool boy comes back to life."
"We make a pretty good team,"
Norma said as she wiped the blood from her machetes off on the villain's shirt. "Oh, I had no idea that you had quite such an appetite for violence when I hired you, but I'm glad you really seem to be, coming into your own. I led the way down the stairs to the first floor, and immediately pushed open the door into a large dining hall below. Penumbra and Elizabeth were nowhere in sight, so I reminded myself to install some thermal imaging capabilities into my helmet later, and then I contacted them through the comms. Location, I demanded.
Last door on your right when you come down the hall.
Dynamo murmured. I glanced around and saw the door that must lead to the hallway, so we pushed our way through it and saw that the kitchen was just on the left. We kept going all the way to the end of the hall and entered through the open door on the right, but as soon as we were inside, I realized why both Penumbra and Dynamo had grown so quiet. There had been a fucking massacre in here. It was a private cabin, so the room itself wasn't that big, but it was filled with corpses. There had to be at least 20 bodies stacked up all around the room, and half of them had been positioned on the bed so it looked like they were all in the middle of an orgy. Except for the fact that their heads were missing, or their chests were ripped open. The rest of the bodies had been placed in similarly grotesque positions with each other, but it was like each one had been part of an experiment to see how much more painful their deaths could be compared to the last victim. A few of the corpses even had their skin missing, either in huge chunks or tiny slivers, and the male closest to me on the floor had both of his eyeballs ripped out of his skull. I didn't need anyone to tell me that the maniac had been responsible for these people's deaths himself. He might not be here now, and he might have hired other villains and thugs to carry out the rest of his dirty work. But the maniac had definitely been the one to kill all these people. No one else would have been that cruel or that grotesque. When Elizabeth turned toward me, there were tears in her turquoise eyes, but she shook her head and tried to ignore them. She moved toward me without a word, and I rested my hand on her back as she leaned up against me.
They were just kids, Miles. Just a bunch of college kids who wanted to have a good time.
I know. They didn't deserve this. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
This was only part of what we found.
Penumbra said as she floated toward me with a tape recorder in one hand.
Like, this would definitely be enough if it was all we found, but, well, we started to listen to this and thought you should hear it.
The blonde heroine seemed particularly pale in her short black dress, but she kept her gaze focused on me instead of the carnage around her. As soon as she handed over the tape recorder, Penumbra floated right past me toward the exit of the room.
If you don't mind.
Go. Keep a lookout at the stairs. Norma, you go with her. Make sure the pool boy doesn't come back to life and that nobody else joins him.
On it, boss.
My assistant said, as she adjusted the brown hair underneath her hooded mask. Once Norma and Penumbra were gone, I turned to face Elizabeth head-on. You can go too, you know, if this is, too much for you.
I'm fine.
Dynamo said, as she stood up a little straighter.
I want to listen to the recording just as much as you do.
I nodded, pressed play on the tape recorder, and felt my lip curl as soon as the maniac began to speak. It was a little fuzzy, since he'd chosen to use some decades-old recorder, but after a little bit of a crackle at the start, the recording squealed and then became understandable.
Miles, Miles, Miles.
The maniac cackled on the recorder.
Oh, do you like my present?
Oh, sick motherfucker.
I'm sure the lovely Dynamo is with you, of course, so please do give her my love. I thought you might especially like my present. Think of it as a promise of things to come.
Elizabeth shivered, but didn't say anything, so we just kept listening.
This is just the beginning, you know. I'm so pleased that you've decided to play my game, since otherwise you wouldn't be listening to me right now. But I know what you're thinking. How can you play the game if you don't know the rules?
He really likes to drag things out, doesn't he? I rolled my eyes.
I'll give you a hint. There is no scenario, no version of this game where I don't win. I made the rules, don't you see? And that means I control every move. I designed the game, so I know exactly what you'll do before you do, and that means I win! So sorry.
Do you think he's actually going to say anything useful?
Elizabeth asked. Oh, he just wants to gloat first. It's like dumbass villain rule number one. I think he'll get to something useful in a minute.
Well, you won't be able to stop me, but my dear Miles, I would very much like to see you try. So I'll give you a hint. Go back to the beginning of our little game. Not the very beginning, perhaps, but the beginning nonetheless.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
And until we meet again, all my love to your women, Miles. Or should I say to my women? Now, go enjoy the rest of your present.
The recording shut off. Well, that was certainly vague.
His women?
Elizabeth looked ready to punch a hole in the floor of the yacht and sink us all to the bottom.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
He just wants us to think that he's completely in control, that's all. He wants me to know that he's been watching us and that he knows all about you three, but guess who he doesn't know about?
Eileen.
Absolutely. She'll be our secret weapon, so if...
We've got company, like, a lot of it, right now.
Get up the stairs, I said as I tucked the tape recorder into a pocket of my suit. Try to get back up to the top deck. We're on our way. I turned toward the door, but Elizabeth was already one step ahead of me. She slammed the door open with such force that the top hinge came loose, and as the door went lopsided, she stormed out of the dining hall to go help Norma and Penumbra. Neither woman was on the staircase up to the second deck, so we sprinted up the steps and followed the sounds of fighting from the bar above us. The moment we came up onto the second deck, I realized what the maniac had meant when he said to enjoy the rest of his present. The deck was filled with a whole swarm of fucking assholes. I managed to glance over the side of the yacht to see that several smaller boats had come up beside us, so the maniac must have had them wait until we all headed to the bottom of the yacht, and then he'd told them to come attack us. The bastards that Norma and I had already fought had just been a distraction. Eileen, get that plane back to our location. We're going to need it ASAP.
It is on its way,
my robotic assistant replied. We've got to get to the top deck, I called, and then I flung myself into the fight alongside the three women. My palm blasters had recharged by now, so I fired them at the first two assholes I ran into, and as their guts spilled out of the sudden holes in their abdomens, I glanced at my superpowered women to check on them. Dynamo had started to deck men left and right the moment that we had come up to the second floor of the yacht, so every other second another body flew across the deck and crashed into the bar or straight over the side of the ship. The black-haired woman's mouth was set into a grim smile, and every time she slammed some poor fucker to the ground, her turquoise eyes glittered a little more with battle fever. As I jammed my elbow back into another thug, I tried to deploy the taser, but it took a little longer to recharge than my palm blasters, so nothing happened. Instead, I just rammed my elbow backward again until I felt something crunch against my joint, and when I spun back around, I saw that I had broken the thug's nose, so now he stumbled right back into Norma. If he'd thought that he might be able to beg for mercy from my nerdy assistant, well, he was in for a nasty surprise. Norma slashed open his stomach with her machete, and then, before he could fall down, she ripped a pin out of a grenade, stuffed it in his abdomen, and pushed him toward a thick cluster of assholes by the bar.
Down!
The mousy brunette shouted. The four of us jumped as far out of the way as we could, just before the grenade detonated inside the man. The explosion tore through the man's insides, blasted through the couple of thugs around him, and then sent blood and body parts in every direction, so it rained blood down on the deck and all over our suits. When I hopped back up to my feet, I grinned at Norma across the deck, and she blushed behind her mask. I was just about to tell her what a good job she'd done, when the assholes all around us finally recovered from their surprise and ran back into the fight. There were easily still 20 motherfuckers on the ship with us, and even though most of them seemed to just be regular henchmen instead of supervillains, we still needed to get the fuck out of here before we made one wrong move, and it was too late. I didn't intend to end up as some nobody thug's victim, and I sure as hell didn't intend to let the maniac win his stupid little game. I rammed my fist into some motherfucker's kidney, and he stumbled toward Penumbra at the side of the ship. The blonde had set up her station right at the edge of the deck, so as this thug staggered toward her and tried to straighten up, the levitation specialist locked onto him, reduced his mass, floated him up into the air and over the side of the ship, and then condensed his mass until he was so heavy that he just dropped like a stone into the lake waters below. I watched as Dynamo sent another thug toward the blonde heroine so Penumbra could do the same thing again. But then another asshole charged me. I triggered the wrist blades in my suit so that when he barreled into me, I slammed my forearm into his chest and felt the blades sink into his flesh. It wasn't enough to kill him, but it slowed him down long enough that I could grab him by the hair with one hand and use my other arm to press my recharged elbow taser into his eye socket. As soon as I fired the taser, I let go of him so the electric current wouldn't jump to me, too, and when he jerked and shuddered in every direction, I stepped back and turned my attention to another opponent. We were making good progress against the thugs, but there were still a lot of them left, and I knew that after all the fights that we'd been in today, we were all tired, and not only could tired people get sloppy, but sloppy people had a tendency to end up dead. "Dynamo, clear a path to the stairs!" I shouted. As my girlfriend started to move through the crowd, I fired off a blast of sticky webbing at two assholes who were trying to sneak up on Norma. Once it stuck to their backs, I jerked back on the thick webs and brought them both to the ground before I released my grip.
"I've got 'em!"
Penumbra called, and then she locked her focus onto the two sticky thugs. As the levitation specialist started to float them both up and away, I moved toward the stairs to follow Elizabeth. I knew that Penumbra would be able to follow easily and just float her way to the top of the yacht, so now we just needed to get Norma out from the thickest part of the fighting.
"The plane is in position,"
Eileen said.
"You will have to jump, but Penumbra should be able to help you if you don't make it."
"Oh, that's encouraging," I muttered. "Be there in just a minute." Norma's average martial arts skills were more than these lowlifes were prepared to deal with, but... well, they still had the advantage of numbers on their side. Every time she injured one, another one stepped forward to replace him, and her reaction time looked like it had started to get a little slower with each hit. "Norma, come on!" As my mousy assistant glanced over her shoulder at me, I fired my palm blaster at the thug to her right and burned a crater-shaped hole right through his neck. I started toward the stairs again, and this time Norma did a backflip toward me, and as she flipped, she kicked her foot up into the chin of one of our opponents to rock his jaw back into his skull. Huh. I hoped the maniac offered him dental insurance. Then Norma sprinted after me, and we both raced after Elizabeth toward the stairs that led to the top deck. Penumbra disappeared over the side of the ship, so I knew she would meet us up top. And now, all we had to do was get the fuck out of here before these assholes all caught up to us. My superpowered girlfriend had cleared the path to the stairs, so we hurried up them as quickly as our aching legs could carry us. The moment that we came out onto the top deck of the yacht, I saw the four-person plane right above us. The doors were open underneath the plane, so we could technically jump up, grab the handles that I had designed for us to latch onto, and then hold ourselves up until the doors and seats closed themselves into place. But, with a horde of the maniac's goons right behind us, I didn't want to take any chances. "Penumbra, I need you to float us up into the plane," I said, as the four of us all moved into a circular formation with our backs to each other. "Do it one at a time if you need to. Can you do that?"
"I can do it,"
the blonde heroine said with a serious nod.
"Dynamo, you're up first."
As Penumbra started to float my girlfriend up toward her open seat in the plane, a movement caught my eye from the stairs, so I glanced back in that direction. Only one of the thugs had followed us up to the top deck, but the asshole hadn't started toward us yet. Instead, he knelt down at the top of the stairs and raised a grenade launcher to his shoulder.
"Boss said not to let you leave,"
the man grunted. And then he fired straight at us.